Your business is our business on AM 770 KTTH.
And continuing our conversation with the president and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, Mr. Patrick Stone here. And Pat, before we talk economic predictions in 2014, I want to ask you about the stock market. It's raging. I mean, we're hitting all-time highs. We hear bubble talk. We hear there's no bubble talk. Where do you weigh in on that? What do you think's going on?
Well, I think the market is fully valued. On a personal level, I just sold some stock. So, I mean, I absolutely think it's fully valued. I do believe that assets have benefited greatly by quantitative easing. And, you know, you look around and people worry about inflation because of the amount of money available. And the amount of money available has impacted asset prices. But the velocity of that money is still very low on a historical basis. So I worry less about inflation, although I will tell you that assets are the things to have, be it stocks, be it houses, be it art, be it jewelry. Whatever it is, if you own assets, you are benefiting from quantitative easing and the amount of money in circulation. Is the stock market overvalued? I think it's at least fairly valued based on historical price-earnings ratios. Do I think have a lot of upside from here? No. Do I think it has a lot of downside from here? Probably not. A correction? Quite possibly. There's a cyclicality to trading that will play out here, but it is fairly valued.
And speaking of money and lots of money out there, incoming Fed Chairman Janet Yellen, by all indications, we'll keep things pretty much status quo in terms of liquidity. No reining that in anytime soon. I know you are an advocate of that as well. But the naysayers would argue that the Fed may not be able to rein this thing back in when it does take off. Are you concerned about that at all?
No, I think that, you know, I keep harking back to Paul Volcker, you know, the first truly activist Fed chairman. And Mr. Volcker did a marvelous job of killing inflation. And again, if you were in business in the 70s, you watched inflation take off. And it got quite out of control. Volcker, Nixon came in. Volcker, as federal chairman, started raising interest rates to kill inflation, and he showed that you can kill inflation. You can kill it fairly quickly. It is painful, but it is actually easy to solve inflation. Not so easy to solve deflation.
Yeah, it's interesting what's happened too with Obamacare over the past couple of months. I mentioned in my email to you earlier this debacle here. It seems that they've straightened things out with the website, but this really has been a mess, hasn't it?
Well, you know, the two issues here. The first issue is universal care. The second issue is the Affordable Care Act and its implementation. You and I have talked before, and I thought that there was tremendous overreach with the Affordable Care Act, just like there's overreach with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Dodd-Frank. Politicians, I think, out of a desire, and I think it is genuine desire to do a good job, always seem to overreach with legislative initiatives. The Affordable Care Act was much too grandiose and far-reaching, and the implementation much too complex. So it fell on its face. Has it been as bad as portrayed by the press? No, it hasn't. There's a lot of political capital being gained by the Republican Party because of it. And I think the level of the disaster has been overemphasized tremendously. But if you back away from it, I think it was overreach. I think it was poorly executed, and there's no excuse for that. On the underlying universal care, I will tell you that I am a very, even though I am a conservative and don't like paying as much tax as I pay, I'm a very strong believer in universal care. And if it, as an American, you got to take a look around and say, well, how do we compare globally in terms of health care? Let's just look, for example, at longevity. The average American longevity now, we're 26th in the world. In other words, of all the nations in the world, we rank 26th in lifespan. And that is because we have very little preventative health care for most people who lack insurance. We have, you know, millions and millions and millions of people who cannot be covered under our corporate health care system. They lack insurance, so they have pre-existing conditions, they can't afford it. They end up going to the ER at the end of life and being very, very expensive, and we all end up paying for it in our health care costs. You know, so are my premiums going to go up? I've got to tell you, we all pay for uninsured people, and that seems to be overlooked to a large extent. So we have a declining rating internationally in terms of length of life, infant mortality, and we don't rate very highly in terms of infant mortality. I think we're seventh or eighth in industrialized countries now in terms of infant mortality, which is sad because, again, it's a case of people not having insurance. So universal care is probably a desirable goal. How this was done was probably not so good.
Well, now with the Obamacare death committees, a lot of baby boomers will face the firing squad, Pat.
That's a good one. Thank you.
If you're just joining us, Patrick Stone, President and CEO of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us. Okay, interest rates moving ahead 2014. Now, we saw the uptick this summer. Things have settled out a little bit. I'm hearing some predictions in the 5 to 6% range, maybe by the end of next year. You agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. We get rid of the quantitative easing, the $85 billion purchases a month. We go back to a more normalized market. I think what you typically need to do in a normalized market is you say that the 10-year bond will probably trade about 2% higher than the existing inflation. So if you had inflation, CPI inflation of 1.5%, then the 10-year bond should be at 3.5%. And the 30-year fixed mortgage will run at 1.5% to 2% above that. So if the 10-year bond is trading at 3.5% and the 30-year is 1.5% to 2% above that, normal 30-year fixed rate mortgages right now should be at 5% to 5.5%. Now, I don't see inflation going up a lot, but I could see it going up maybe a half a point over the next year maximum. So if I'm sitting here talking to you, do I expect 30-year mortgages to be higher this time next year? I do expect them to be around 5.25% to 5.75%. Is that a bad thing? Well, I will ask you to remember that from 2001 to 2007, the average mortgage rate was over 6%. And we had the biggest real estate boom in history. So this is not a problem. And probably 5.5% to 5.75% mortgages next year at this time would probably be right in line.
This question might be a little too technical for most of our listeners, but it does impact them, especially across Puget Sound with jumbo mortgages. I know RPM Mortgage really owning that market. I talked to Pat Palmer recently. Securitization, though, in the mortgage market obviously has been backed by the federal government. Are we seeing any private organizations or private market stepping back into this?
There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of planning. There's a lot of people on Wall Street looking hard at it. I think with the enactment of QM and a couple of other final rules and regulations around CFPB early next year, you're going to see some stabilization and some people working towards a privatized market. Now, Wells Fargo announced today that they would be they didn't think that the QM restriction was going to slow their lending down because they plan on holding some of the mortgages. So I think some of the angst that people were expressing around QM creating a slowdown in the mortgage market or reducing the amount of people that could get mortgages, I think that'll be mitigated by banks retaining some mortgages for the portfolio. I do see a growth in the privatized securitization market, especially on the jumbo end to start with, and then moving down market as rules and regulations become clear.
Okay, drum roll, please. Let's talk 2014 and your economic forecast for the year ahead. I know we've got a little bit of time to fine-tune this before you hit the lecture circuit and you join us in Portland and then in Seattle in early February with your forecast. But give us an early preview, Pat. How do you see things shaping up in 2014?
I'm pretty optimistic about the second half of 2014. I do think we'll get back to 3% growth, maybe in the third quarter, but the fourth quarter of next year for sure. A little bit of that is because, you know, GDP is measured year over year. And I seriously doubt that you'll see any further contraction in government spending. I think that's pretty well taken care of itself. I do think you'll see an increase in the investment component of GDP in the second half of next year over this year. I do see quarter-to-quarter improvement next year. So I'm pretty optimistic that next year we get back to 3% by the end of the year, maybe a little bit sooner, depending on, again, consumer confidence and how badly the people in Washington screw things up in January. And then I think 2015 will be a 3+% year growth.
What is the over-under on government shutdowns in 2014?
You know, it's a little nerve-wracking because there are conversations going on. I mean, there are genuine conversations going on. There's a group of people called the No Labels that are trying to get some some bipartisan action. But there is no real overwhelming movement yet. You know, I mean, what's happened instead of dealing with these issues is that we're pointing fingers over Obamacare. We're trying to score points in anticipation of the midterm elections. It's actually kind of disappointing, but that shouldn't be surprising.
Pat, good to see you as always. Finish the year strong. We'll talk to you again in 2014.
My pleasure, Brian. Thank you.